Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Divi Nation. Divi Nation is a podcast and video show by Elegant Themes, the creators of Divi, the ultimate WordPress theme and visual page builder. Now, the goal of Divi Nation is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller, and as your host, it's my job to facilitate that success by having various guests from the Divi and wider WordPress community on the show to share their stories and experiences with you. In this episode, I interview Randy Brown, a longtime contributor to the Elegant Themes blog, a content service provider to the Divi community, and an avid user, tester, and reviewer of not only Elegant Themes products, but the whole burgeoning Divi market. So in the course of our conversation, we learn Randy's backstory. We learn about how he approaches creating the truly monumental amount of written content that he creates. And he and I both share some tips for those looking to be more consistent and effective when creating content for their own brand. All that and more in today's episode of Divi Nation. Randy, welcome to Divi Nation.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's so good to have you. You're obviously a longtime contributor. Everybody in the community most likely knows you from the blog and the Facebook groups. Super cool. This is actually our first like video conversation, which is a treat. It's been fun to talk to you in Slack and on Facebook for so long and email. So you sound exactly like you do in some of your review videos that I've watched. So
okay.
It's nice to know that there's continuity there.
I'm from Tennessee, so sometimes you can understand me, sometimes you can't.
I feel like you got one of those like nice like southern accents, like not to suggest that anybody's southern accent is bad per se, but you have that kind of the Hollywood version of a southern accent where it's just like, you know, that sounds nice, you know, like
excellent. I appreciate that.
So hey, what's going on with you today? What have you been doing?
I've been writing a review of a plugin.
It's just probably a pretty typical day for you, I imagine.
Pretty typical, yeah, pretty typical. I do a lot of reviews, whether it's software, books, Bibles, whatever. I'm doing a review today of a
very
plugin.
Very cool. Yeah, well, you're definitely a unique guest in that, you know, you're not a developer designer by trade. You're actually a content specialist by trade. You write for us, you write for other people, you have your own websites. What are all of your current clients and projects that you're writing for at the moment?
I'm writing for Elegant Themes, obviously. I'm writing for Elegant Marketplace.
Okay.
I'm writing for Divi Cake. I'm writing for Monterey Premiere. Let's see. Sometimes I write for some of the other theme sites. Let's see, I'm drawing a blank. WP Theme Roundups.
Okay.
Brenda Barron's site. Yeah. I like Brenda. She's great.
Oh, she's awesome.
So that's mostly it.
And what about your personal projects that you do a lot of writing for?
Okay, my number one site is BibleBuyingGuide.com, and that's where I do Bible reviews. I review Bible software. I review not necessarily the content, it's the Bible, but I review the quality of the materials, the design of the layout, the paper, the materials, you know, that sort of thing. And let's see, I do, of course, my own website, randyabrown.com, is my writing site, and I'm thinking about doing some changes there. That's mostly it. I have a Bible study site, studiesandscripture.com, and that one is my oldest site. It's been around since 2009. And it was my first Elegant Themes website.
Oh.
That's when I started with Elegant Themes in around 2010. One of my problems is not being able to decide on a theme. And I searched the internet and I looked for free themes and I was changing themes every other day and sometimes more. And I came across Elegant Themes and I was hooked. And I've been with Elegant Themes ever since.
So early days, 2009, that's early. That's one year after it started. That's fantastic. Didn't you
I started 2000, like February 2010 in that range with Elegant Themes.
Nice. Yeah. We'll check your account to make sure. No.
Okay.
didn't you also just recently start a new like web design blog?
Yeah, I did. WP Design Trends. That one is brand new. It's been up since the beginning of April. So far, I've only posted once a week. I'd like to post more, but some people are keeping me busy, so I'm not complaining about that. But I talk about web design based on WordPress, but not necessarily the how to create a header or that sort of thing. There's a lot of those out there.
Just like tracking the trends that are kind of taking over.
And talk about what makes good design. What does make good design? You know, what do you like looking at? What do you like using? What makes a site usable? So my focus is UX, UI.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Man, that is a lot of writing. I mean, I used to, as you know, I mean, I was a freelance writer for a long time. We've had this conversation before. And there have been periods in my life where I just really had my head down and I would do nothing but write as much as I could all day long. But my goodness, you have a lot of writing going on. And this, just to brag on you a little bit, folks, Randy also writes novels in his free time. So,
I do, yeah.
So this is, and how many of those have you gotten done so far?
I've done 5 so far, but they're all first draft. I want to make them all second draft and then go from there before I start trying to publish.
Sure.
But so far, all 5 are first draft, and I've got some novellas that will go in between. Another site I have is WP Igniter. And that's where I do themes for Divi, child themes for Divi.
Oh, wow.
And those child themes are available in the marketplaces. I've only have 2 right now. I have probably 20 in the works, but I only have 2 actually available.
Fantastic. Well, I can't wait to hear more of your backstory, because that's something that I'm not sure you and I have delved into so much personally, and I would love to kind of get it on the record, so to speak, not for myself as well. So tell us a bit about your background and how you got into WordPress and what kind of got you into this whole WordPress blogosphere thing that is turned into your bread and butter.
It started with me wanting my own business. I've always wanted my own business. And around 2001, I got Microsoft Office and dug into how to create websites using Frontpage. And I loved it. I loved Frontpage. So I started a website back in 2001, 2002, in that range, randyabrown.com. Here's me producing websites. And I have a problem with seeing something shiny and getting sidetracked. So I had tried so many different projects, and I'll start a project and not finish, and start another one and not finish. Mm-hmm. And I knew I didn't have enough knowledge. I could do the basics of Frontpage, but I couldn't do anything else. And I knew I didn't have enough knowledge to really be a real web developer. Mm. So I started college and finished that. I got a bachelor's degree in business management with an IT focus. And so from there, I started developing websites. And I came across, for school, I used Dreamweaver. Mm-hmm. But then after school, I came across WordPress. And I was hooked. I was hooked on WordPress instantly. And my goal was not really to make a website. My goal was to keep in touch with my writing, because I had put so much work and effort into my writing. I took several writing classes, College Composition 1 and 2, technical writing. And all my life, as far as I can remember, I've been a writer. Mm. All through school, all through grade school, all through high school, and even through college, I've had my teachers and my fellow students compliment me on my writing. So that was a strength for me that I wanted to keep going. I didn't want to lose that. So I wanted to start a website so I could blog, because if I had a website out there where I was promising my readers that I was going
to
publish
something,
then I was obligated. And that's the way I obligated myself to stay fresh and stay working with writing, rather than getting sidetracked and going, oh, look, something shiny, and then going on to something else. So I used WordPress as my platform, started studiesinscripture.com, and then went from there. And I actually was an electronic technician at the time, working in consumer electronics, fixing televisions, microwave ovens, whatever. And I went from there to Denso, a large automotive manufacturing, where we made instrument clusters. It's an amazing company. I love the work. And I went from working in production to working as an engineering technician, programming the vision systems. And through this whole process, I'm developing presentations and giving presentations and writing for Kaizen projects and project management. And I loved it. And then I was promoted to industrial engineer in the Total Industrial Engineering, TIE department, which I loved. And But I still had in the back of my mind, I wanted my own business. Yeah. And I had come up with business idea after business idea. And I would work on it for a while, come up with the idea that, you know, this is either not in demand or it's too saturated.
Sure.
Or it costs me too much to do. I could only afford.
It's so hard to bootstrap anything.
Right.
And especially when you're trying to do it in your spare time off of virtually zero capital, it's like, unless you just luck out with the right time, like right thing at the right time, it can be really challenging. So what was it about WordPress that allowed you to get the ball rolling? I mean, obviously the website or the software itself is free, but not necessarily everything associated with it.
Well, the WordPress business was actually an accident.
Oh, okay.
I enjoy WordPress. I've used it since 2009.
Yeah.
And got to know a lot about WordPress. But my business idea, I had been listening to Ed Gandia podcast on my way back and forth to work because I was driving 2 hours a day and I had time. So his podcast talks about writing for a living, being a freelance writer. And then I'm listening to other podcasts about business, and what got me on Engadia in the first place was someone asked the question in a podcast about how to develop a business. What are you good at? Of the things you are good at, what is in demand? Mm-hmm. Of the things that are in demand, what can you afford to provide? Mm. So I went home, made my list, and writing was one of the things that I'm good at. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize how much writing was in demand, but technical writing is in demand, and that was one of my strengths. So when I figured that technical writing was in demand, and then I could do it from home, so that brings my overhead cost down.
Oh, yeah.
So now you're looking at a laptop, you're looking at a word processor, you're looking at internet connection and your skills. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, buy a book every now and then, you know, to continue to sharpen the saw. And so from there, I was convinced that I needed to start a freelance writing business. But I didn't really have any clients. I didn't really know what direction I was going to go. My idea was just to not focus on one thing, because I'm the kind of person who I let something find me rather than me go after it. Okay. So I didn't necessarily go after being a technician. It found me.
Sure.
I didn't really go after being an industrial engineer. It was the choice that of my choices, I chose it, obviously. Yeah. But I let it find me more than the other way around.
How did the WordPress blogging find you? I'm curious.
Exactly right. How? I don't really remember. I was searching internet, looking at the different platforms, and there was WordPress. And I remember starting with WordPress.com. And
that's common. Because that's what people think when they get on there. It's like the least friction, right, to getting started with it. You're like, oh, it's free. It's already there. Right. And then and then you start to realize that, like, the hardcore people are over here on the self-hosted.
yeah, exactly right. I had started with free websites. I don't even remember who I started with as a free one. It's not even available anymore. And they were shutting down, and I wanted to develop another free website, so I went to WordPress.com. I don't even remember what site I started. It might have been BrownsConnection.com or something like that. And then that's where I started with WordPress and kept that going and learning the insides and the outsides.
Yeah.
And then but when I started my freelance writing business, I started pitching to clients, and my very first client that I pitched to hired me to write about WordPress, and because I already knew about WordPress. And I've been a WordPress writer ever since.
Wow. That is so cool. Let me change the direction of this. It seems like now you're very Divi focused and extra focused in your products or in your own websites. Mm-hmm. And obviously because of that, you're able to write about it a lot for us. Right. Yeah. You're also very plugged into the community in the sense that, you know, you cover all the community topics on the blog, such as the reviews or overviews of third party products and stuff like that. How did you get into using Divi and Extra, and B, what was your avenue into the community, and how has that kind of affected the way that you work?
Okay. With Extra, I had already been an Elegant Themes customer. Mm-hmm. And when Divi came along, you know, I knew it was the big thing. I knew everyone wanted to get into Divi, and, you know, all the real programmers and the real developers and designers were going to use Divi, and I knew that. So I was kind of afraid of what to do because I hadn't done any of the coding or anything like that up to that point. My programming was Visual Basic. I'd done Visual Basic 4, Visual Basic .NET, Visual 6, and then C Sharp. So that was my programming, not really web development.
In
the coding. But I wanted to use Divi. So I used Divi on my blogs, and I set it up as a blog, and I just had, show me my next articles, and that was it. I mean, like, I'm using Divi. I'm a Divi user.
Just kind of a really standard, default install.
Default install. I didn't use the Divi builder or anything like that. And then one day I decided, I'm going to try this. I'm going to use the Divi builder. And then I was hooked. And the Divi builder was so intuitive. I was afraid to try it, but there's nothing to be afraid of. Divi builder is so intuitive. So now I'm using Divi builder on everything, except when I had started BibleBuyingGuide.com, I used Delegate News. I loved that.
That
thing. That was my favorite. I kept it for a long time, for years. And then I had my eye on Extra. When I saw the news about Extra coming out, and I knew that was going to be the one that's going to give me everything I wanted for Bible Buying Guide, to create it as a magazine. That's what I was looking for. And it came out, and I kind of waited. I was afraid because I had changed themes before, and when I would change themes, everything would be destroyed, and I would have to reset up.
Tricky process.
Yes, and I was afraid to try it. I didn't have the time to deal with it, and I knew that. So I waited about 6 months. And then one day I thought, you know what? I'm going to try it. I installed Extra and it worked. I didn't have to set anything up. Nice. It worked out of the box. Nice. And I've been with Extra ever since.
That's cool.
But what was part B? I don't remember.
Sure, the community. Yeah, because it seems like, there's a – from my perspective anyway, when you got involved with us in our blog and and then with other community members, it seemed as if – your writing took a turn to be very Divi and ET community focused.
Yeah.
As far as if there's a pie chart of your writing, there's just a bigger a big chunk. And I'm wondering how that engagement in the community what that's been like for you. Like, has that been a positive thing? Has it been a challenging thing? Because essentially, what you are is a really neat niche within the community, which is a B2B. Almost, or a service provider to the various parties and businesses that are growing up within the Divi community, which I think is kind of cool. Like, it's cool that we have an ecosphere that can now support not just companies, but those companies having like a sub ecosphere of like people who are there hiring to do, their content or strategy or this or that, which is really, really awesome.
Yeah. Now, how that started, right off the bat, I started getting people writing me on my website through email and just asking me questions. And I like helping people, so I'm always answering questions. And then I would answer questions in the Facebook groups. You don't really see me in there as much as I'm actually in there. I'm in there looking at questions and seeing what kind of solutions I can provide and things along that line. And then I'll respond. Most of the times, someone has already beat me to the answer, and I don't throw the answer in there when it's already been answered. Sure. But sometimes I'll throw an answer in there. But by doing that, people started recognizing that I'm helping, and then they'll connect with me. You actually helped along with that line because you said, hey, I want you to write a plugin review. I don't remember what was the first one I did, but you said, ask someone for the plugin, and then it went from there. And then from there, I started contacting everyone or connecting with everyone. And I had also started connecting on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Because first thing I like to do when I'm writing with a company is I like to connect with the writers and with the programmers and developers. Oh. It helps when you have a question, because if I have a question about a product and I have to write and send off the answer and it takes me 3 weeks or 3 days or whatever, I need to be able to contact quickly.
Yeah.
And that's helped a lot. But now a lot of times I would ask someone in the community. Or if I ran into a problem, I would submit a ticket, and them not knowing that I'm writing about their product, and they would answer really quickly. I don't know if that was on purpose or what, but
well, now they know. So Randy Brown has a ticket. Yeah, we better answer real quick because
now I just contact them. I don't even try the ticket thing anymore.
You might be the first person to suggest using LinkedIn because I think it's not that it's far from unused as a platform, but I think in certain communities such you know, such as the designer freelance community, it seems like it's not as popular as say just Facebook or email or personal websites. But what's kind of cool about that is there's, you know, different professions find different ways of getting what they need when they need it. And that's cool that you mentioned LinkedIn as one of those avenues you've used. So what has been the effect then on you as being able to jump between these different clients and having more, I would say, higher than average community connections? What's been the effect on you and your business?
It's been great because I can ask for help and get it quick. not just that, because, I mean, you know, they're helping the community anyway, but they realize that I'm helping them.
Yeah.
You know, they help me help them.
Yeah. No, you bring up a good point. Yeah. I mean, it's not because you're in the public eye, so to speak, that you're getting the help fast. I think it's because when you are in the public eye, you're the one often giving. Like through your articles. And so people know when you ask something, they've probably received help or insight or something from you through that work. They're like, oh, well, of course I'm going to help Randy. And that holds true, I think, for anybody. Yeah. Anybody who makes themselves known as a helper is going to get help in return, which is pretty awesome.
Right. Another thing this has done is it's helped me be in the position to give feedback on plugins and child themes and services. Yeah. So when someone has a service, they'll ask me my opinions, and that's helped me help them.
Yeah,
I've enjoyed that a lot.
And that's something I think you and I just recently talked about, how, you know, in the future we try to really encourage everybody in the community who is creating products. But I think in the future we're gonna try to include in our write-ups a lot more constructive critiques, so that people in the community who are creating products, aside from just getting our, you know, attaboys and whatnot, they're actually getting like, hey, we systematically went through this and we tested it, and here are some things, like, here's all the awesome things you're doing, but then here are some areas where we're like, you could probably knock it out of the park if you did XYZ. And I think people, I hope people would see that for what it is. I hope they wouldn't think it's like, you know, a discouragement or an attack of any kind. They would see it as an opportunity, because that's certainly how I would mean it, come like editorially, you know.
Right. Up to this point, to your point, so far I've approached it as if it were just a highlight or an overview of the features, the product features, or what it can do. When I approach an actual software review, such as Logos Bible Software or BibleWorks or Accordance, or when I'm reviewing a Bible, I will go through and tell what I do like, but then I will also show, I would like it to do this instead, or I would like this feature to work this way, or I would like this paper to be this opaque, or something along that line. So, you know, it is more of an actual review, and I'm doing that more detailed critique.
And that's been intentional on our part, is to call it an overview as opposed to, to a highlight or an overview, as opposed to a review. But I think, you know, based on some comments I've seen recently, it's like people are probably ready for us to go, hey, don't just tell me that it's available and what it can do.
Right.
Like, let's talk about performance here, because the market is getting big enough where people have options between certain things. There are now multiple versions of the same basic functionality out there.
True.
And people want to know, like, which one should I go with, or you know, what, you know, which one has this strength over that strength and whatnot. So that kind of stuff is going to start to become, seems like, more valuable, which is another thing that blows my mind, that's the market is maturing to that point.
And that also brings up an opportunity to have, you know, since we have so many plugins that can do the same features, this one versus this one.
Exactly. I mean, on the marketplace, of course, we'll have, like, people will be able to write reviews and people will get a lot of information there. But compiling some of that stuff into, you know, tables and charts and in a blog post, it'll also be really useful, because I think a lot of times those listings can kind of show up before a product listing in search engines sometimes, so that people want to know. and also, you know, if there's multiple products, you don't necessarily want to jump back and forth between all of them in the marketplace. You can go to a blog post, see which one you want, and then go to that.
Right. And if you're like me, you can't decide anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So you need all the reviews you can get.
Yeah, you're like, take it from the guy who has 1,000 Bibles.
You're not exaggerating by much.
Yeah, I mean, Let's talk about your use of Extra a little bit, because that's, you said, okay, Bible Buying Guide is your big Extra website. What has been your big benefit of using Extra over Divi in that particular use case?
Well, it's given me the opportunity to create a magazine style layout with the various tabs, so that I can put like this category here or this category here. Mm-hmm. I'm primarily known for Bible reviews, but I also do book reviews, I do accessory reviews, I do software reviews, but I kind of want to keep those separate. Mm-hmm. I want my Bibles to still be the front and center, and I want people to be able to find them easily. So it's allowed me to have that ability, that functionality. Now, I've been tweaking. I've been doing some changing. I recently changed it more to a blog style. Mm-hmm. That's worked really well. Part of what I'm trying to do is speed it up. I'm trying to streamline its design more than anything. And I'm liking the blog style. It's I posted it in one of the Elegant Marketplace or Elegant Themes Facebook groups. And I said, what do y'all think about this design? And everyone answered, they were coming in, they love the style, the design. How long did it take you to design this? And I'm like, actually, that's just one of the built-in designs. I didn't do anything special here. It's just, there's a slider, and then here's a blog, and you're done. It's built in.
No, you're right. But it is, but it really works. I mean, the one thing I've noticed since the last time I checked out your site is that you've increased the size of your body font, which is a nice touch. I think a lot of people tend to leave the default font, which personally I think is just a touch too small for the average blog. There are some blogs who intentionally do like tiny type and tons of photos, but I think with someone who writes a lot, you want people to be able to hang out on your site for a long time without getting that excessive eye strain.
Another thing I just recently done was change the link color. I used the default link color, which was black, but it blends so well with everything else that people were asking me, well, where do I buy this or where do I buy that? And the links are in the articles, but you can't see them. So I changed that just a week or so ago.
Yeah, I'm noticing that here too. It looks real nice. Very Thanks. Nice. So how does, as a product review site, using Extra, like, have you seen any increases in affiliate sales or increased engagement from whatever it was you were doing? You said you were on E-News, I believe, before.
Delicate News.
Elegant News, yeah.
There's been increase in traffic. I don't know that it's specifically the theme design or part of what I've done. I've made a lot of changes as I've gone. Normally, I would just post on the name of a product, I would give a link to Amazon, so someone can buy through my affiliate link. Now what I'm doing is offsetting that link so that it's obvious, click here to buy. And I'm placing that at the beginning of the article and at the end of the article. And then if it's appropriate, I will place links throughout the article, but I don't like to overdo that. I don't want there to just affiliate links. It's not about that. It's about getting the information out there that people need to be able to make a decision. But I've made a lot of those changes as I've gone, along with making the design changes too.
Now, have you thought about incorporating, the Divi Builder and some like fancier call to action buttons to increase that affiliate click through?
I have not. That's something that would be. That's something to be interesting.
Because essentially, you could leave. I've thought about this a lot with product review sites, and because you and I have talked about, I've kind of geeked out on like formatting and stuff like before. Yeah. So I've always wondered if basically doing a standard text module, like go ahead and activate the Divi Builder, use a standard text module for your whole post content, but then below that have like a post footer where you put your specific your specific call out, and see if that increases it, because you can also do variations of that and run Divi leads on it, so you could really start to optimize at that point and really dial that in.
Sounds great. I'm going to try that.
Please do. And then write a blog post about it.
I sure will.
So, let's see. We started our conversation talking about just like the massive volume, of writing that you produce. And I think for a lot of people in our community who are maybe not the natural writer that you are, or maybe the less natural writer that I am even, they want to produce content. They want to produce more content than they currently are. Maybe we can talk a bit about some tips for people who have trouble creating content on a regular basis for their website and kind of get them off the ground. What do you think? What you got some general thoughts?
Oh, wow. I like to pay attention to structure. Mm-hmm. I like to put everything in a logical order that makes sense to me as for the flow of the structure. And that actually becomes my outline. Mm-hmm. I don't outline ahead of time. A lot of people do. A lot of people will outline their work and they'll describe what's going to go in that section, and then that description becomes the information for that section.
Yeah.
I like to detail the product itself. So if I'm looking at Divi, for example, if I'm looking at the Divi Builder, I will talk about sections, and then I will talk about rows, and then I will talk about modules, and then I would talk about specific modules, and then I would talk about the information, like the content tab, and that sort of thing. So I will take each one of those points out as its own section and deal with it specifically. But now I don't like to repeat the same information over and over. So if I've told you that about a background in the content or like the background information for sections, I won't tell you that again in rows and modules. I'll say it has it, but I won't go through that.
Yeah.
You know, so don't repeat things. And I like the word you always like to use is be thrift. Yep. And so when you're thrifty with your words, you're using words that work. And don't worry about trying to get the right word the first time. Write it down. I try to get the right word the first time. I don't do that, but I have to correct everything as I go. But write, get your information down, get your thoughts down, and then tweak your thoughts until they become your content.
That's a really good advice. And along those lines, a tip that I can provide is, you know, back when I was basically volume blogging, like getting as many posts out the door as possible, I kind of developed this style of blogging that's like a fill in the blank style, where basically what I would do is I had, for each article, I had a article type, whether it was a roundup or a think piece, editorial, or what have you. I would do a template. And so I knew that it always had these five or six sections to it. And I would create those templates in text files, and I would put like introduction in brackets, and then I would put heading in my like H2 tags. And then I would put text underneath that in brackets, and basically just create these little boxes of where I knew content would eventually go. And then whenever I got a topic, I would immediately fill out everything that I could think of off the top of my head for it within that layout. And then I was like, well, now I'm not writing a post from scratch, not even from the very beginning, because I have my placeholders. And then I have my rough draft, which is maybe going to be like 2/3 of the final article. And when I do my final pass through it, I would go back through, and instead of writing top to bottom, I would fill in detail throughout and end up with something that flowed very nicely and had a bunch of different sections, but it was anything but like a sit down and write from beginning to end process. Yeah. It was like, you know, and in fact, a lot of times I would just skip the introduction altogether and just leave it as a placeholder and just start filling in the raw facts.
Yeah.
You know, so like if you know that you're going to have to include like data points or anything like that, like go ahead and get that in the post like right away. And then you can always reference it from within your post instead of going to like a research piece or something or a tab you have pulled up. So,
and then once you've written that content, now you know how to write your introduction and your conclusion.
Exactly.
Because all the content is there, and then it's basically a summary.
Exactly. And another tip I usually give to people who are creating content is once you've written your introduction, if it's more than one paragraph, see if you can simplify it to one paragraph. A lot of times what people will do is they'll start writing an introduction. It takes them a while to wrap their head around how they want to introduce the topic they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And they actually end up writing the perfect introductory paragraph like three paragraphs in. So just delete everything else and go just with that one, and it'll be so much cleaner.
Excellent. Yeah, that's excellent. And another thing is, if you're making 2 points and you want to stretch out your content, not add fluff, but if you want to get more detail in your content, instead of making 2 points in one sentence, make them their own paragraph or make them their own sentence. Another point would be to don't have long paragraphs. Shorten them down just a little bit. Every time you change thoughts.
Like a three-sentence max paragraph is kind of my... Like, basically what you learn in, like, grade school where it's like...
Yeah.
we're kind of at that stage again when it comes to, like, you're writing for a massive audience. They have very, little attention span when it comes to, like, the amount of available information. So give them everything you got in a short burst.
Yeah.
I think that's good, like, post-structure and... creation tips, but let's talk about, the habit of producing content. So what are some things that maybe people can do to get in the habit of creating on a regular basis?
Well, for one thing, set aside time for it. Mm-hmm. Don't try to make it an afterthought in your day. Set aside time and stick to it. Turn off the distractions. Turn off Facebook. Oh, yeah. Facebook can be terrible. I know sometimes I'll go to Facebook trying to find an answer to a question or trying to talk
like
to someone.
Like an hour
someone.
Later here.
Yeah. And then I'm like, well, I need to get back to work. And I close this out. And I'm like, oh, wait, I went to Facebook because I needed to ask. I got to go back to Facebook again. So
guilty.
Turn off
that's
the distractions.
Happened.
Yeah. This happened to me more than once. Turn off distractions. Set aside the time for it. And go through your structure. If you need to, look at examples. Don't copy them. Don't do that.
Sure.
But look at examples and see how they've approached this and use a similar approach. Use the same approach if you can, but make it yours. Make it your approach. So, you're not alone. There's other people that have done this too. And see what they've done. Use those as examples.
Absolutely. I mean, internet's a big place. Whatever you want to write about, someone else has already written about it. Even if it's super obscure, someone else has written about it. So read it. See what.
Exactly. Exactly. But always do your own research.
Absolutely.
One thing that I have found is I found a writer. I don't know who this was. I don't know who this was or what the plugin even was now. But this is when I first started, and I saw a review of a plugin that had a feature. A few years later, someone wrote another review of this plugin talking about this feature. I installed the plugin and couldn't find the feature and found out that the second writer who wrote
copied
the article,
the first writer,
but
the feature
had been
removed
2 years before. So if he had loaded the plugin, try it yourself. Always do your own research. There's a term in Japanese manufacturing called Gemba. Go to the source. Go look at it for yourself. Don't listen to what other people say about it. Go check it out for yourself. Go to the source.
That is such good advice because not only should you read everything that's out there, but actually nothing can substitute experiencing something for yourself.
Right. Exactly right.
And I think, I don't know, if I could just put that in big shining lights, I would do your own research. That's genius.
Do your own research. Yeah.
Well, and your like approach is also, have you ever seen the documentary Hero Dreams of Sushi?
No, I haven't.
I feel like you would love it because it's very much like about... doing something over and over again, like getting through the I hate this part of it. Like he has this thing where he said, like, people are like, well, how'd you get to be so good at making sushi? He's like the best sushi chef, I think, in the world. And they're like, he said, this works for anything. Do it until you hate it.
Yeah.
And then keep doing it until you love it again. And then repeat,
you'll find ways to make it better.
Yeah, absolutely. And then one day, because it's funny because, usually your frustrations in the moment of creating something are subjective to that moment. Like, they're frustrations you're having with yourself, with your expression, with, the circumstances or the tightness of the deadline, whatever. But what I found is really cool is, if you go back and read your writing, particularly if you've been writing a long time, you'll go back and read something, and if you've really hit a groove somewhere along the way, you'll go back and go, "What, I wrote that? That's pretty good."
Exactly.
I didn't know I had that in me.
and that brings up another point about writing. Stick with it.
Yeah, stick with it.
Don't
for sure.
write your first article and say, "Oh, I'm no good at this." Well, no, you're not on your first article. You might not be good at it until your 100th article, but you're not going to get there until you get to that 100th article. Keep doing it. Keep going.
Absolutely. I think that's probably true about anything. I definitely know that when it comes to the podcast, I think at the beginning I was very heavy on the production aesthetic and the production process. But the more I've done it, the thing that I feel like has started to evolve is just the conversation itself. embedding the structure in yourself to the point where right. you can kind of flow in and out of it organically. Mm-hmm. And that works with writing too, you know, and I said, mm-hmm. I have a structure, I have a predefined format for every type of post I do. So if you mm-hmm. have a certain type of content you need to produce on a regular basis, yeah, mm-hmm. create an outline and then right. fill that outline up 100 times. And I guarantee you by the yeah. end of that stretch of posts, you will be able to start writing in such an organic and fluid way where you've internalized that template to the point that
yeah.
you think in that way. Like right. when you start to absorb information, you start doing your research or you start sitting down to collect your thoughts, you immediately know where that thought goes in that template. Mm-hmm. And that's when you start getting really efficient at the writing process, in my opinion.
I agree. Yep.
Well, cool, man. We're at 45 minutes, believe it or not. I can't wow. believe it. It's flown by. I could probably talk to you all day, especially about yeah. writing stuff. Yeah. But I think we should probably wrap it up just to okay. keep true to our approximate 30, 40 minute time mm-hmm. range. Randy, great. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope people pay attention to the amazing tips you've given because you are someone who's, I think so specifically because of your content background and how much respect I have for the vast amount of content you've produced over the years.
I appreciate that.
This is somebody who is not giving tips that they don't know what they're talking about or they only just started doing this. If you want to get good at blogging, if you want to get good at creating your content, listen to the things this man has said and you'll be well on your way. Again, thank you so much, Randy.
Thanks for having me. It was great talking to you today.
Well, that's it for this episode of Divi Nation. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I just want to give another big thank you to our guest, Randy Brown, for coming on the show. If you have any questions about what we discussed in today's episode, please feel free to leave them in the comments section on the Elegant Themes blog, and we'll be sure to get back to you. Thanks again for tuning in. I look forward to seeing you all around the community. And as always, I will be back right here next week with another episode of Divi Nation.